So, okay, so, you know, all of Israel will be saved. In the first century, the Jews were the first church. Many Jews received Yeshua as their Messiah. But the nation and the priesthood, the temple, and the political system do not receive the spirit of the kingdom. The kingdom that is, whose government was on his shoulders. They could not see it. And who's a Jew? Well, Galatians says a Jew is one who's circumcised in heart. And where's the temple? Well, the temple is, we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the temple. He's the head of the temple. He's the high priest. All these things were shadows. A shadow is not the evidence. It's not the substance. It's a shadow. It's a reflection of that which is to come. It's the sun comes down and casts a shadow. Then the sun is not the tree that casts the shadow. It's the shadow of the tree. So it was with all the tabernacle of Moses and all the priesthood, and these were all a shadow of the heavenly reality, of the eternal spiritual reality. These truths cannot be discerned except by the Spirit of truth, except by the Spirit of God. And he says all of Israel will be saved, even a remnant. Why? Because God is merciful and he does what he does. He chooses whom he chooses when he chooses to will and do his purposes. He's the pot. He forms, he's the potter. He forms the pots. He has power over it. And he will show with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepare for destruction. He has prepared vessels. As it says in Timothy, there are different vessels in the Lord's house. And he's going to make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared hand for, even for glory. Now, let's just kind of jump back here to Ezekiel, which it seems we're coming into. And then I want to look at, this is now, there's, that God says in Ezekiel 37 that when he gathers all his people out of the nations, and he's gathered them, he's gathered the seed of the Jews back to Israel, but it's dry bones. The Spirit hasn't come here. These are, most of the people here are dry bones, and God sends in people to pray for them and to join with them, those who truly know God. There's a lot of others that come in with mixed motives and impure motives, and there's some who've come in starting out in the Spirit and ending up in the flesh. I mean, everyone takes their part in this drama, which is the fulfillment of ancient prophecies. And this is what God was going to do. He said to all these dead bones, let's look at Ezekiel 36 first, where it says, I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then, now why? Okay, let's look up here. So let's go to Ezekiel. I want to just rewind the tape a little bit more to verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman and her customary impurity. Therefore, I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land. Now look, God calls this land his land. It's not up for discussion. He said, you have shed blood on his land and for the idols which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. God is altogether just and altogether righteous. He judges according to the sword of his word. to the Torah, according to the Torah, you know, the, his righteousness for his purposes. Whenever they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. And when they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. You know, hello, is there a problem here? But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations wherever they went. Art Katz has some very interesting ideas on that. You know, the flesh, people of the Brit, the covenant, always tend to be able to, you know, make it happen. We can make it happen without God. And so God says, okay, you do that. And they always tend into sin and idolatry and running after other gods because they haven't kept the laws, the covenant of God with him. So they profane his name, his holy name among the nations wherever they went, and therefore say to the house of Israel, now this is what God is will soon. And I don't know how long soon is. It's in God's timetable. Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I have taken you out from among the nations and gathered you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Okay, so God has done this. And this is a fulfillment of ancient prophecies. He's brought the people back to this land. He's allowed a country to be established here. But what's happened? Well, once again, they don't know God. It's a secular culture. There's religious. There's the arm of flesh. There's the law. There's all these things operating. And God is going to come and break them. And show them who he is. Because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Believe me, there's a lot of idols here. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Then you should dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. And you will remember your evil ways and your deeds, that they were not good. You will loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. This says the Lord God, on that day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. The desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. And believe me, I'm in northern Israel now. The Jezreel Valleys and the Jordan Valleys, they're like the Garden of Eden. They're so fruitful. And the wasted, desolate, and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. In the nations which are left all around, you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like a flock offered as a holy sacrifice, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast days, so shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. They shall know that I am the Lord. And then the Lord God goes on in Ezekiel 37 and prophesies about the dry bones. And I'm going to skip down to verse 15. And this is now, I don't know that this is sequential in the timetable, but, you know, Ezekiel 37 is before the Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And God says, verse 20, And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. And then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land and on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. Okay, one king. Now, this has not come to pass. There is not one king here. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. And they shall not defile themselves any more with their idols. This has not come to pass. Nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them. Who's that? Yeshua the Messiah. Shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. This is a reflective verse from the blessings on Israel in the time when Israel is made new again from Ezekiel 36. And they shall dwell in the land that I've given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. Okay, this has not come to pass yet. There are still some troublesome dealings with. By the Lord God for the nation of Israel. Nevertheless, God gets to, you know, he will call them my people, it says in Romans 9, who are not my people and are beloved, who is not beloved, shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are lo ami, not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. And God's going to do this work. He's going to reveal himself for his great and holy namesake. Because men cannot make this happen. And they cannot push it along or move it along or, you know, shove prophecy into their, you know, the square peg of their understanding into the round hole of God's purposes. It does not work that way. It comes through understanding and insight into the times and what the Lord is doing. And this is called appropriate prayer. That's just going around, you know, declaring this and declaring that and blah, blah, blah. It's what is the Lord saying? How do we pray your kingdom come, your will be done, O Lord God Most High? Holy, holy is your name, righteous, righteous are your ways.